And now, Chapter 27, The Meeting of Usha and Aniruddha. The meeting of Aniruddha and Usha, which caused a great fight between Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva, is very mysterious and interesting. Maharaj Parikshit was eager to hear the whole story from Shukdev Goswami. And thus Shukdev narrated it. My dear king, you must have heard the name of King Bali. He was a great devotee who gave away in charity all that he had, namely the whole world, to Lord Vaman, the incarnation of Vishnu, as a dwarf Brahman. King Bali had 100 sons, and the eldest of all of them was Banasura. This great hero, Banasura, born of Maharaj Bali, was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, and was always ready to render service unto him. Because of his devotion, he achieved a great position in society, and he was honored in every respect. Actually, he was very intelligent and liberal also, and his activities are all praiseworthy, because he never deviated from his promise and word of honor. He was very truthful and fixed in his vow. In those days, he was ruling over the city of Shonitapur. By the grace of Lord Shiva, Banasura had 1,000 hands, and he became so powerful that even demigods like King Indra were serving him as most obedient servants. Long ago, when Lord Shiva was dancing in his celebrated fashion called Tandav Nritya, for which he is known as Nataraj, Banasura helped Lord Shiva in his dancing by rhythmically beating drums with his 1,000 hands. Lord Shiva is well known as Ashutosh, one who is very easily pleased, and he is also very affectionate to his devotees. He is a great protector for persons who take shelter of him, and is the master of all living entities in this material world. Being pleased with Banasura, he said, "Whatever you desire, you can have from me, for I am very much pleased with you." Banasura replied, "My dear Lord, if you please, you can remain in my city just to protect me from the hands of my enemies." Once upon a time, Banasura came to offer his respects to Lord Shiva. By touching the lotus feet of Lord Shiva with his helmet, which was shining like the sun globe, he offered his obeisances unto him. While offering his respectful obeisances, Banasura said, "My dear Lord, anyone who has not fulfilled his ambition will be able to do so by taking shelter of your lotus feet, which are just like desire trees, from which one can take anything he desires. My dear Lord, you have given me 1,000 arms, but I do not know what to do with them. Please pardon me, but it appears that I cannot use them properly in fighting. I cannot find anyone competent to fight with me, except your lordship, the original father of the material world. Sometimes I feel a great tendency to fight with my arms, and I go out to find a suitable warrior. Unfortunately, everyone flees, knowing my extraordinary power. Being baffled at not finding a match, I satisfy the itching of my arms by beating them against the mountains. In this way, I tear many great mountains to pieces." Lord Shiva realized that his benediction had become troublesome for Banasura and addressed him, "You rascal, you are very eager to fight, but since you have no one to fight with, you are distressed, although you think that there is no one in the world to oppose you except me. I say that you will eventually find such a competent person. At that time, your days will come to an end, and your flag of victory will no longer fly. Then you will see your false prestige smashed to pieces. After hearing Lord Shiva's statement, Banasura, who was very puffed up with his power, became elated that he would meet someone able to smash him to pieces. Banasura then returned home with great pleasure, and he always waited for the day when the suitable fighter would come to cut down his strength. He was such a foolish demon. It appears that foolish, demoniac human beings, when unnecessarily overpowered with material opulences, want to exhibit these opulences, and such foolish people feel satisfaction when these opulences are exhausted. The idea is that they do not know how to expand their energy for right causes, being unaware of the benefit of Krishna consciousness. Actually, there are two classes of men. One is Krishna conscious, the other is non-Krishna conscious. The non-Krishna conscious men are generally devoted to the demigods, whereas the Krishna conscious men are devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna conscious persons utilize everything for the service of the Lord. The non-Krishna conscious persons utilize everything for sense gratification, and Banasura is a perfect example of such a person. He was very anxious to utilize, for his own satisfaction, his extraordinary power to fight. Not finding any combatant, he struck his powerful hands against the mountains, breaking them to pieces. In contrast to this, Arjuna also possessed extraordinary powers for fighting, but he utilized them only for Krishna. Banasura had a very beautiful daughter, whose name was Usha. When she had attained the age of marriage and was sleeping amongst her many girlfriends, she dreamt one night that Aniruddha was by her side and that she was enjoying a conjugal relationship with him, although she had never actually seen him or heard of him before. She awoke from her dream, exclaiming very loudly, "My dear beloved, where are you?" Being exposed to her other friends in this way, she became a little bit ashamed. One of Usha's girlfriends was Chitraleka, who was the daughter of Banasura's prime minister. Chitraleka and Usha were intimate friends, and out of great curiosity, Chitraleka asked, "My dear beautiful princess, as of yet, you are not married to any young boy, nor have you seen any boys until now. So I am surprised that you are exclaiming like this. Who are you searching after? Who is your suitable match?" On hearing Chitraleka's inquiries, Usha replied, "My dear friend, in my dream, I saw a nice young man who is very, very beautiful. His complexion is swarthy. His eyes are just like lotus petals, and he is dressed in yellow garments. His arms are very long, and his general bodily features are so pleasing that any young girl would be attracted. I feel much pride in saying that this beautiful young man was kissing me, and I was very much enjoying the nectar of his kissing. But I am sorry to inform you that just after this, he disappeared, and I have been thrown into a whirlpool of disappointment. My dear friend, I am very anxious to find this wonderful young man, the desired lord of my heart." After hearing Usha's words, Chitraleka immediately replied, "I can understand your bereavement, and I assure you that if this boy is within these three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems, I must find him for your satisfaction. If you can identify him from your dream, I shall bring you peace of mind. Now, let me draw some pictures for you to inspect, and as soon as you find the picture of your desired husband, let me know. It doesn't matter where he is, I know the art of bringing him here. so as soon as you identify him, I shall immediately arrange for it. Chitralekha, while talking, began to draw many pictures of the demigods inhabiting the higher planetary systems. Then pictures of the Gandharvas, Siddhas, Charanas, Panagas, Daityas, Vidyadharas, and Yakshas, as well as many human beings. The statements of Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature prove definitely that on each and every planet there are living entities of different varieties. Therefore, it is foolish to assert that there are no living entities but those on this earth. Chitralekha painted many pictures. Among those of the human beings were the members of the Vrishni dynasty, including Vasudev, the father of Krishna, Shurasen, the grandfather of Krishna, Sri Balaramji, Lord Krishna, and many others. When Usha saw the picture of Pradyumna, she became a little bashful. But when she saw the picture of Aniruddha, she became so bashful that she immediately lowered her head and smiled, having found the man she was seeking. She identified the picture to Chitralekha as that of the man who had stolen her heart. Chitralekha was a great mystic yogini, and as soon as Usha identified the picture, although neither of them had ever seen him or known his name, Chitralekha could immediately understand that the picture was of Aniruddha, a grandson of Krishna. That very night she traveled in outer space, and within a very short time reached the city of Dvarka, which was well protected by Krishna. She entered the palace and found Aniruddha sleeping in his bedroom on a very opulent bed. Chitralekha, by her mystic power, immediately brought Aniruddha in that sleeping condition to the city of Shonitapur, so that Usha might see her desired husband. Usha immediately bloomed in happiness and began to enjoy the company of Aniruddha with great satisfaction. The palace in which Usha and Chitralekha lived was so well fortified that it was impossible for any male to either enter or see inside. Usha and Aniruddha lived together in the palace, and day after day, the love of Usha and Aniruddha grew 4 times upon 4. Usha pleased Aniruddha with her valuable dresses, flowers, garlands, scents, and incense. By his bedside sitting place were other paraphernalia for residential purposes, nice drinks such as milk and sherbet, and nice edibles which could be chewed or swallowed. Above all, she pleased him with sweet words and very obliging service. Usha worshipped Aniruddha as if he were the supreme personality of Godhead. By her excellent service, Usha made Aniruddha forget all other things and was able to draw his attention and love to her without deviation. In such an atmosphere of love and service, Aniruddha practically forgot himself and could not recall how many days he had been away from his real home. In due course of time, Usha exhibited some bodily symptoms by which it could be understood that she was having intercourse with a male friend. The symptoms were so prominent that her actions could no longer be concealed from anyone. Usha was always cheerful in the association of Aniruddha, but she did not know the bounds of her satisfaction. The housekeeper and the watchman of the palace could guess very easily that she was having relations with a male friend, and without waiting for further developments, all of them informed their master, Banasura. In Vedic culture, an unmarried girl having association with a male is the greatest disgrace to the family, and so the caretaker cautiously informed his master that Usha was developing symptoms indicating a disgraceful association. The servants informed their master that they were not at all neglectful in guarding the house, being alert day and night against any young man who might enter. They were so careful that a male could not even see what was going on there, and so they were surprised that she had become contaminated. Since they could not trace out the reason for it, they submitted the whole situation before their master. Banasura was shocked to understand that his daughter Usha was no longer a virgin maiden. This weighed heavily on his heart, and without delay, he rushed towards the palace where Usha was living. There he saw that Usha and Aniruddha were sitting together and talking. Usha and Aniruddha looked very beautiful together, Aniruddha being the son of Pradyumna, who was Cupid himself. Banasura saw his daughter and Aniruddha as a suitable match, yet for family prestige, he did not like the combination at all. Banasura could not understand who the boy actually was. He appreciated the fact that Usha could not have selected anyone in the three worlds more beautiful. Aniruddha's complexion was brilliant and swarthy. He was dressed in yellow garments and had eyes just like the lotus petal. His arms were very long, and he had nice, curling, bluish hair. The glaring rays of his glittering earrings and the beautiful smile on his lips were certainly captivating. Still, Banasura was very angry. When Banasura saw him, Aniruddha was engaged in playing with Usha. Aniruddha was nicely dressed, and Usha had garlanded him with various beautiful flowers. The reddish kumkum powder put on the breasts of women was spotted here and there on the garland, indicating that Usha had embraced him. Banasura was struck with wonder that even in his presence, Aniruddha was peacefully sitting in front of Usha. Aniruddha knew, however, that his would-be father-in-law was not at all pleased, and that he was gathering many soldiers in the palace to attack him. Thus, not finding any other weapon, Aniruddha took hold of a big iron rod and stood up before Banasura and his soldiers. He firmly took a posture indicating that if attacked, he would strike all of the soldiers down to the ground with the iron rod. Banasura and his company of soldiers saw that the boy was standing before them just like the superintendent of death with his invincible rod. Now, under the order of Banasura, the soldiers from all sides attempted to capture and arrest him. When they dared to come before him, Aniruddha struck them with the rod, breaking their heads, legs, arms, and thighs, and one after another, they fell to the ground. He killed them just as the leader of a flock of hawks kills barking dogs one after another. In this way, Aniruddha was able to escape the palace. Banasura knew various arts of fighting, and by the grace of Lord Shiva, he knew how to arrest his enemy by the use of a Nagapasha, snake noose, and thus he seized Aniruddha as he came out of the palace. When Usha received the news that her father had arrested Aniruddha, she was overwhelmed with grief and confusion. Tears glided down her eyes, and being unable to check herself, she began to cry very loudly. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, 27th chapter of Krishna, The Meeting of Usha and Aniruddha.